That's a wonderful book, Eric.
Which one?
Determined to Be His.
Have you read it? Yeah, it's well edited. Very well edited by somebody who has done a good job, I believe. Because I heard from others also.
Wonderful book. Mm. And the introduction about running to Baba, if you can't run, to walk, and if you can't walk, to crawl, if you can't crawl, pray to crawl. that says it all, but the book is still wonderful.
It is.
The story is wonderful.
Have you read that book, Julia? No.
I haven't read any of them. Paul has tried to tell me a lot of things, but I didn't listen.
Listen. Are you listening? Are you listening? First we have to begin with that. Baba is asking us, are you listening to what I am letting you know? Are you listening? Listening. That's the first step. Bill Files. Have you all met Bill Files? He has created a song where the refrain is, are you listening? Are you listening? Very good song it is. You heard Bill Files? From where? Have you met Bill Files? Billy Files.
Where is he from?
Merle
Beach or
where? Where is he from?
He lives in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
I think that the heart sometimes hears long before the mind registers.
Yeah, that's
the heart. Seems that way.
But you know, Aaron, that body is it. Remember when he speaks about congenital felicity? He says, though, that if you don't have that, being born into a family, that.
Come on, say.
He says an attentive ear.
Okay, really say what it is. How blessed we are. The great perfect master has said this.
He said that most important is to have congenital felicity.
What does that mean, congenital felicity?
Well, congenital means to be born into. So to be born into that atmosphere of loving the Lord. If you have parents who love the Lord, then even without your doing anything, by osmosis, there's that atmosphere
of happiness around, you see.
That felicity with God. If you don't have that, then he says you better have a strong body. Why? Because you'll have to endure so much to make up for not having been born into it.
Okay.
But if you don't have that, then what you need next in importance is an attentive ear. So there must be something then to really listening, to hearing. Everything that's around us is stimulus, but to hear it, to cipher through it, and listen to what's of value, bring you closer to him, he says, is of great importance.
And then if you don't have the hearing?
If you don't have that attentive ear, then you better have a seeing eye. So that whatever is around you, you'll perceive. Then you'll see. And that'll draw you to him.
And if you don't have that, then what?
Then you better have a knowing heart. Your heart better make up for everything else. For being blind and deaf, for the things that are around you.
And if you don't have that?
Oh, Aaron, then he says you're better off dead.
That is Bayezid has said that.
Because he himself, that's how he came to the Lord. He actually went through so many circumstances, but it was through his mother that he really received the son.
I was referring to you to the introduction of that, to that book, where it is said
to
that.
Muslim saints?
Yeah.
To the story of Bayezid?
Stories are, why is it so important that we should know this?
Where Attar says about how the atmosphere of listening to saints. Do you want me to bring you?
Well, if you all want to hear it, yeah, still time.
I don't want to?
Yeah.
Sure. Is that
what you want? Just a page and a half is there. Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, let me see.
Attentive ear, seeing eye, knowing heart. All these things are helpful. You are in the press business, isn't it? When did the first printing start? What's the origin of it?
Printing?
Yeah. I'm not asking about the writing first, the printing.
In the world?
Yeah, in the world. Which country first started it? China?
Korea.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Korea had the first movable type. 500 years before the Gutenberg Bible.
Korea started.
Mm-hmm.
Which Korea? South or North Korea?
It's right in the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good. Good that they did it.
It's good that he's here.
Huh?
It's good that he's here.
Oh, good that he's here to let us know the answer to our query. But what I said, it was good of Korea to have invented this sort of thing. Which language was that? Korean language?
Yeah, like Korean.
What, they translated, they printed the Bible, you mean to say?
Hmm? Well, that, in the West they usually say that the Gutenberg Bible was the first example of something printed with movable type. You know, and in the East, I think it's Korea, because Korea had it many years before.
So only 500 years ago the printing started, you mean to say?
Well, I think, when is the Gutenberg Bible? I think the 15th century or something like that?
You found it?
I think so. Oh, you know, in the other version, I think, is a little different. But
what is that?
Is it this one in the preface of the memorial, Atarlus' Reasons?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
this is
the one
we're
talking about? Okay.
Mm. Read it.
Should I start from...
Is your throat all right?
Yeah, my throat's fine.
So we can give to somebody else to read it. Okay.
Oh, I'm okay.
Okay, then read it.
Do you want me to read the little thing above it, or just start from the more?
Yes.
Okay. In addition to the poetical
writings... Listen to this. In addition to?
In addition to the poetical writings, we possess from Attar's pen one work in prose, this memorial of the saints, whose genuineness, certainly over a very substantial part, is beyond reasonable doubt. It seems probable that this book was completed and made public somewhat late in Attar's life, but that large sections existed in draft when he was writing his poems. In these were clearly based materials assembled in the memorial. In the preface to the memorial, Attar lists his reasons for writing the book.
Yeah, this is important. Attar is a perfect master, mind you. Yeah. Mm.
One, he was begged to do so by his religious brethren. Two, he hoped that some of those who read the work would bless the author and thus possibly secure his welfare beyond the grave. Three, he believes that the words of the saints are profitable even to those who cannot put them into practice, inasmuch as they strengthen aspiration and destroy self-conceit.
Mm.
Four, Junayd said, and he's referring to
another perfect master says,
Junayd said, their sayings are one of the armies of the Almighty God, whereby he confirms and reinforces the disciple if his heart be dejected.
Mm-hmm.
Five, according to the prophet, mercy descends at the mention of the pious. Peradventure...
This is Prophet Muhammad says, eh?
Should I read that again?
Yeah, read.
According to the prophet, mercy descends at the mention of the pious.
Just mention of the pious.
Meaning people, the saints.
Saints' name, saints' name.
Peradventure, if one spreads a table on which mercy falls like rain, he will not be turned away portionless. Six, Attar trusts that the blessed influence of the saints may be vouchsafed to him and bring him into happiness before he dies. Seven, he busied himself with their sayings in the hope that he might make himself to resemble them.
Mm.
Eight, The Quran and the traditions cannot be understood without knowledge of Arabic, wherefore most people are unable to profit by them. And the sayings of the saints, which form a commentary on the Quran and the traditions, were likewise uttered for the most part in Arabic. Consequently, the author has translated them into Persian in order that they may become accessible to all. 9. Since an idle word often excites keen resentment, the word of truth is capable of having a thousandfold effect, even though you are unconscious thereof. Similarly, Abdul-Rahman Eskafi said that the reading of the Quran was effectual, although the reader might not understand it, just as a potion of which the ingredients are unknown. 10. Spiritual words alone appeal to the author. Hence he composed this daily task for his contemporaries, hoping to find some persons to share the meal which he has provided. 11. The Imam Yusuf Hamadani advised some people who asked him what they should do when the saints had passed away from the earth to read 8 pages of their sayings every day. Attar felt that it was incumbent upon him to supply this desideratum. From 12, from his childhood, he had a predilection for the Sufis and took delight in their sayings. Now when such words are spoken only by impostors, and when true spiritualists have become as rare as the philosopher's stone, he is resolved to popularize literature of this kind so far as lies in his power. In the present age, the best of men are bad, and the holy men have been forgotten. The memorial is designed to remedy this state of things.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe just that. The sons of the saints disposed.
Yeah, these are the most important
things.
Well,
you said to stop, so it stopped.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering as to what
because,
happened to
well,
that.
Well, you know why? Because actually, Eric, it crossed my
mind. These are other...
Yeah.
Things.
Well, it crossed my mind that in that other one by him, that's more succinct.
Okay,
really.
Read this.
The saying of the saints
this
disposed
is most important.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read it.
The sayings of the saints disposed men to renounce the world, meditate on the future life, love God and set about preparing for their last journey. One may say that there does not exist in all creation a better book than this, for their words are a commentary on the Quran and traditions, which are the best of all words. Anyone who reads it properly will perceive what passion must have been in the souls of those men to bring forth such deeds and words as they have done and said. And a further motive was the hope of obtaining their intercession hereafter and of being pardoned like the dog of the 7 sleepers, which, though it be all skin and bone, will nevertheless be admitted to paradise. That's it. But actually, I think the other book that's in the record is a more successful book. So that's it.
These great ones, you know, because of the dog, you know, some story comes to my mind. And there was one in the capital of a kingdom, a man, almost unknown to the public. And you'd go from one street to another street and sit somewhere or go out on the fringes of the town and then return after some days. People were aware that there is a madman going about here and there. with the passage of time, people became really aware of this person because they felt he never asks for anything. He never harms anybody. The children ridicule him, dogs bark at him, and he never retorts or does anything but just smiles. So they began to have little good feelings for this man. With the passage of time, they began to revere him. And with another passage of time, people began to follow him. Wherever you'd go, there would be people crowding and this and that and all this. This information came to the ears of the king, the potentate himself. And the ministers said to his highness that he is such a person who is to be revered. There are many fools in my kingdom. Many fools in my kingdom. Well, let me try him. So send him an invitation that I invited him for the royal feast. So, well, somebody is sent out to invite him, says, you are invited to the palace for a royal feast there. Thank you, I'll come. When is it? What day? So he is there. He is climbing up the steps, you see, of the palace. And the king is informed that he has come in his shabby clothes and all that. All of a sudden, the king comes out and says, who are you? What do you want? Get out from here. Get out from here. This is the palace. Don't you realize that? He says, I'm sorry. Turns his back and goes away. Next time, after 2 or 3 days, again he's invited. Messengers go out and says, the king wants you. So he comes again. To cut the story short, this happened 12 times. And he was driven out. And each time he said nothing. I'm sorry. Pardon me for having come here. And he goes away. Again he is invited the 13th time, he comes there, and the king falls down on his knees, revering him and paying his homage to him. He says, I haven't come across somebody who is as great as you are. And your greatness is that 12 times I drove you out and you came back again without saying a word or anything. So he says, O king, why do you call me great? I'm just emulating the trait of a dog. You can chew the dog out 100 times and he'll come back to you when you call him. Is that greatness? That's all. Such are the stories of the great ones, you know. We have to hear such things and emulate. Impressions come, impressions are there, like that. So these are profitable things, you know. They benefit us. These little stories benefit us. You don't register now, but a year or 2 years passes by, or 20 years pass by, thing come back. Yeah.
It's beyond comprehension to think about how, a lot of things are beyond comprehension, but in reading also Bao's book, the introduction, 20 volumes, different masters in their lives had such an incredible effect. You don't really understand how it just had a wonderful effect. Wonderful effect. I don't know what it was. It was wonderful. It was sort of like setting your heart or tuning your heart or something. It's funny, I have the book, but I went through a very strange process with it. I bought the book, but I read the whole book before I bought it in a bookstore. I didn't see it in my home because I had so much else going on that I had the space to read the book. So I go every day, and much to the chagrin of the people at the bookstore, they didn't particularly like it. I'd sit in a corner, and I'd read one chapter. And I'd be sitting there very quiet, bothering nobody, water would be coming out of my eyes. Not crying, just nothing, just, you know, not that I was wearing a lot of emotion, just very contained, except inside, I'd read one chapter, put it away, and come back the next day and read another chapter. I didn't get the book for a year afterwards, and I have it now, and I like to read it and reference back to it. It's always wonderful, it's always fresh. But it's interesting to sort of go through that process of going to the bookstore, and they don't care the
No, it is beautiful, you know. These words, although they are words, but they are beneficial. That gives you that joy.
Oh, yes. This is definitely a very nice feeling.
And especially when you say that tears come out of your eyes. You can't call them tears. It's the melting of the heart there. And
it is
yeah, just like the iceberg gets melted, you know, with the ray of the sun, so all the rays of his love melts that long blocked thing, you know, that is there. And you'll notice that your tears will be cool, not warm. Have you noticed that?
Now that you mention it, I believe I did register that.
Yeah.
They're very different.
Yeah, they're very different tears. Yeah, they're not tears.
But you tell Bob you want to live there. You don't, it's hard to live there. You go back. You go between feeling like stone or just whatever and that. Like to come to the point that you've been told Bob in dreams. Or this is wonderful, Baba, but I want to live here. And go back, and it's like, you can't control it. You can't. You can also read it, it doesn't happen. It's wonderful to have this sense of Baba, I want to live here.
Yeah, it is. It is not madness, it is sanity.
Yes.
People in the world call it madness.
I don't share it with you. No, it's
I heard a great analogy recently about how everybody is a musician in the orchestra, like God is
conducting.
Yeah. And if you try and listen to the person next to you who's playing a trumpet and you're playing a violin, you're not going to be in the right tune. You have to watch the conductor. And once you're in tune, other people will realize that you're in tune.
Yeah.
And they'll start playing in tune instead of...
Yeah. Very good. Where did you get that?
That was in a book by this woman who's not... really follows God, she follows what she calls the light, which is, you know, same thing, different word.
Good for you. Let me speak.
Remember how Ramakrishna said that really the only way you can end up really...
Loudly.
Ramakrishna also speaks about loving God, how to love God. And he says that it's through the incarnation of God, which also includes, of course, all the masters and saints. Why does the heart get enlivened? Because through that incarnation, which becomes so much more tangible to us, the milk flows. And that the incarnation of God is like the udder where the milk flows out of it. And through that, then, we can love God.
We get the nourishment.
Yeah.
It's interesting also reading that I have that had that experience of reading Krishna talking words of it. Because I went to Babajan's tomb, it could be any reason. It's nice, it didn't have that feeling, was that in mind another time. But in reading one has been lost.
But what will happen to the illiterate person who does not know to read? Will he be debarred from this joy? That is the miracle. He will be deriving the same joy as you derive through reading. That's how he makes himself tangible, through the literate, through the illiterate. It's so true. Yeah.